Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Travis Walters, Doctor of Chiropractic and co-owner of Catalyst Wellness Conservative Healthcare Clinic. Travis, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. You know, in full disclosure, Travis has been working with Ellenbecker Investment Group employees for a while now, helping with some different adjustments and anything that we need, you know, a couple times a month. It's been a great benefit that we've been able to have here. So Travis, let's kind of dive in to our topic today,
sure,
which is conservative healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
That's really two words put together that I had not heard of before.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe as a starting point, you could share a little bit of your background on your journey to being a conservative healthcare professional.
Thank you. Yeah. So the journey started back whenever I was in my undergrad. So I went to the University of Kansas. Originally, I was actually a chemistry major. And my freshman year of college, they had this beautiful big gym weight room and actually hurt my lower back deadlifting.
Oh, yes.
And as many people since I've seen since then, it's a great story just to kind of like, hey, I'm one of you.
Right.
I've done stupid stuff in my past as well. But it took me on a journey to where I actually changed majors from chemistry to exercise science. And I went to a chiropractor that was located in that town, and he gave me a little bit of relief, but I had what then became more of a chronic lower back pain. And then through the exercise science, program, I learned anatomy, I learned physiology, I learned how to lift correctly.
Mm.
I learned, basically the things I should have been doing. And then from there, I bounced around between a couple different clinics, chiropractic, physical therapy. I shadowed with a strength coach for a summer and just kind of got my hands into that whole world. And then finally, my senior year, I interned with another chiropractor that was in the town. And he had kind of built this clinic where it took a more holistic approach to the person. He incorporated strength conditioning, soft tissue therapy, rehab exercises, and what a chiropractor typically is known for, and put it into a whole package. And since working with him, I said, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I almost, not immediately, but shortly after, enrolled at the Chiropractic College in Kansas City, to where I went for, it was 3.5 years, and got my Doctor of Chiropractic, where I also met my wife, and we had two kids before I graduated, so life has been hectic since. But that whole kind of journey from, you know, this weightlifting accident to the chiropractic, I learned what I did wrong. I learned how to fix it. I sit here today. I have no low back pain. I do have episodes where I do something I shouldn't, and I have to go through and remediate what went wrong. Mm-hmm. But I can also say, you know, I've hit new personal records in different various lifts along the way. And now I'm kind of transitioning from that strength and conditioning mindset to more, you know, the sports that you can play longer in life. So in my case, it's golf and tennis. But in that journey, I can definitely say one of the biggest aspects that I picked up is the perspective of when a patient comes in the door with acute low back pain or neck pain or shoulder or hip. I look at them like, I've been there. I've done that. You know, we know how to get you out of pain. And then the term conservative means we're taking our skills that we've accumulated, that we've built our knowledge around through the years of school and clinic and through our mentors, through seminars, through different various aspects. And we've been able to refine a way to treat somebody without having to go in necessarily with a drug, a medicine, or with surgery and get the body to return to a normal state. I think that's a really important aspect and what differentiates us from, you know, more of the orthopedic. And I refer patients to orthopedics. I'm not saying there's anything wrong mm-hmm. with going through the surgical or the medicine route, but there's a lot of people out there that particularly, you know, gravitate towards a clinic like ours because they want to do everything possible before they have to go down that path. And again, sometimes we have to send them for, you know, cortisone or go through some sort of anti-inflammatory so we can get them back on the track. But vast majority of people can get there without an invasive procedure. And I think it's really important for people to hear.
It is. And it's good to have that kind of lens on it. I like the word that you used towards the beginning about a holistic approach, right? Really looking at where somebody is and getting them to where they want to be mm-hmm. and being mindful of that path that you take, right? Mm-hmm. For what your patient or your client wants mm-hmm. and feel strongly about. And also looking towards that future, because if you do a quick fix and you don't learn anything along mm-hmm. the way, it's very easy to revert back to not thinking things through.
Yep.
You know, one thing I've learned from you and from people at your clinic is that form is so important, right? So being able to do things and being very intentional about how you do them when it comes to, say, lifting, or even you were talking about low back, mm-hmm. you know, you taught me how to garden. He didn't literally come and garden with me, but he did show me some ways to do weeding that I had not been thinking about the pressure I was putting on my back for ways that I was either, you know, kneeling or standing mm-hmm. in a position that did cause me to have low back pain.
Well, and, you know, now that you say that, it's one of the aspects that we have with our business as well, as we do corporate treatments where, you know, as you mentioned earlier, we come to the business and work on individuals in the office. And one of the other businesses that we go to is a large manufacturer. So we have a bigger role there, I guess you would say, as, you know, these people are working, you know, 12-hour shifts with their, you know, hands mm-hmm. 3 to 5 days a week, depending on what their schedule allows. And it's repetitive movement injuries. So if you can clean up even a little bit of your movement, it takes a significant amount of stress off of the body and off of these, you know, common sites of injury that we see. So whether it's gardening or whether it's, you know, you're in assembly line and you have mm-hmm. to move, you know, 1,000 parts a day, they all add up over time. And actually reminds me of a story. So earlier this year, Dr. Mack, who's an associate in our Big Bend office who comes here as well,
yeah.
He and I were kind of brainstorming some different topics to talk about. And one of the things we came up with was people repetitively using the term, I slept wrong, or blaming the pillow, blaming the bed. And we've actually refined some of our communication with patients in the recent months to where we play a little bit of a detective. And we were just going through a case yesterday where the person said, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. And we go, well, what'd you do in the past 5 days? And they go, well, I played hockey for the first time in 20 years. I'm like, okay, what else? And they're like, well, I was water skiing and, you know, the 4th of July came around and I was sitting in a boat for a while, and like all these different activities add up over the time, and it's not the pencil or the shoe that you picked up that hurt your back. It's the accumulation of stress over these past several days, and the shoe or the, you know, the item that you're picking up was the proverbial final straw that threw out your back.
Yeah.
So whenever you understand all these little small things, or, you know, in his case, the water skiing is probably not such a small activity, but they add up over time to a stress that can create a large trauma to the body. And again, kind of playing that detective with them also gets them to realize, you know, you have to be not overly conscious about the movement in terms of, I don't want you paranoid. But at the same time, if you're going to be, like you mentioned, gardening, you need to be a little bit better with your lifting form. You need to be a little bit more efficient with how you're moving your body. It can't just be, you know, as I would call in the clinic, you're lifting sloppy, or, you know, you're unconsciously throwing stress into areas in your body where you do have a history. So just being aware of that, no, that was a really good one.
Well, and I think too, like what I've noticed personally, and especially with the gardening thing, is if I'm just moving too fast, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not slowing down to take the time to, again, properly arrange my body in a way, right? Whether it's gardening or it's water skiing or it's lifting or it's pickleball. You know, if you are going to be sloppy with your form, and especially when we're always in such a rush, right? We're always in such a rush. Either it's to try to beat a record, right? Or it's to just get through this weeding because, you know, with these rains, weeds have taken over everyone's gardens. That's a whole different show.
I had a 5-foot weed I pulled out here last weekend, and it was just full of thorns and miserable. Mm-hmm. But we also have goats that love to eat the weeds. So
that's helpful.
They get fed.
Well, with that, we'll take a short break. And when we return, we'll hear more about the types of treatments that you do and ways that we can even help ourselves. Welcome back to Money Sense. This is Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Travis Walters, doctor of chiropractic and co-owner of Catalyst Wellness. We've been talking today about conservative healthcare. So you talked about how you came into being in that space. Let's talk about, you know, what kinds of treatment you do for rehabilitation in the physical therapy and chiropractic space.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've thankfully had a great group of mentors along the way. As I mentioned before, the chiropractor that I shadowed back in Kansas, he's actually down in Florida now. He wanted to move to warmer weather. I don't blame him, especially in the winters that you get in Kansas. But one of the big aspects that we like to consider ourselves in the rehab chiropractor is that we've taken, you know, physical therapy classes, we've taken physical therapy seminars, and picked up some of the tools along the way that allow us to treat in different lenses of, you know, whenever people talk about a chiropractor, they typically talk about like, oh, I just need this popped, or I need this cracked. You know, it'd be really nice if you could pop my back. In the grand scheme of things, those are great for maybe a short fix. There are instances where the adjustment is all the patient needs. I'm not going to deny that. But for the vast majority of patients, it's that they need to go through some sort of soft tissue treatment. Soft tissue meaning the muscle, the fascia, the tendon, the ligament. Something is interfering with the proper movement around the joint or joints of the body. So until that gets cleared up, the movement will not be restored. And then at the same time, we have to call it retraining some of the movement patterns. My wife and I have dedicated a large amount of time and energy into picking up a style of rehab that's taught through the Prague Rehabilitation Institute called Dynamic Neuromuscular Stabilization. That's a mouthful.
It's
it sounds
sure
fancy,
is.
Right? And the whole principle on that technique is understanding the fundamental movement patterns of the human and then trying to restore those patterns into, you know, kids or adults that may have altered due to pain. And that's a conversation I was actually just having yesterday with somebody about the moment that you have low back pain, it changes the function of your core. And we can probably sit for longer than I'd like to admit talking about what is the core, just in terms of definition. But for obviously the listeners here, just keep it simple and say that your, you know, abdomen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you have an episode of low back pain, it changes the firing or the activation pattern of your core. And it's been pretty well researched and defined. And I don't know too many people that would refute that. But just that altered firing pattern in the core makes you at higher risk for low back pain in the future. So getting a patient to understand we have to talk about breathing, we have to talk about bracing, we have to talk about these kind of different exercises that help get them to unconsciously brace their core. Because if you're going to go do some gardening and you're bending over, you should have a unconscious activation of your core as you, you know, bend over to pick up that weed. And somebody who has a history of low back pain, that could be different. That could be delayed, and it opens up an avenue for stress in the lower back in this instance. So again, trying to talk about this in a very simplistic manner, but at the same time, I think it gets people to really understand that because you have an injury, because you have pain, it changes the way your brain perceives and activates muscles around that area of your body.
There's so much in there that I want to ask about.
Go ahead.
So yeah. I love the unconscious part, like the thought of retraining or training to start with your body to, and your mind to act in a way that's going to prevent an injury or prevent pain.
Right.
So that's great. The part that also struck me is that when we do have pain and we, you know, when like your knee hurts and your shoulder hurts because you're compensating,
right.
Like that's an unconscious sort of thing that's not really beneficial.
Right.
Well, so like, how do you look at that?
That one's, I mean, you get into just kind of, I guess you would say time in the business. So time in working with patients and making sure that you train your eye. And you train that skill of being able to perceive what are the movement dysfunctions in an individual. And in a part that we touched on, and I want to make sure that we, I guess, circle back on, was just pain in general.
Yeah.
There's a whole, I guess you would say, category of conservative healthcare specialists nowadays that deal with the psychology of pain. So you get somebody who has, you know, a family history of trauma or some sort of event that's happened in their life, and then, you know, their shoulder starts hurting. It can be expressed even more, so their threshold for pain is altered because of this emotional trauma they've had in their past. And that alone, I mean, you could read books around that subject, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's something that needs to be talked about more, because people who have even chronic pain, which I'm raising my hand here, I've been in that category. There's an element of looking back on your pain and understanding and accepting and being grateful for it. And nobody talks about that. Because the point when you are grateful for your injury is the point that you've truly gotten over your symptoms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know. Let that one settle in.
Right. That is different. A different way to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think being grateful that you can make it through, but when you're still in it, there's probably a lot going on.
Right.
And the emotions around it.
Correct. And that's where, you know, I talk about with like a lot, my low back pain. If I wouldn't have had that low back injury, you know, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have my kids.
Right.
So like it.
Right.
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but at the same time, when I look back on it, it led me down this path that I'm grateful for. And I've learned a lot along the ways, and I've been able to help a lot of people to understand this different way of thinking about an injury. We could say the same thing about, you know, a shoulder injury. And, you know, unfortunately, you get those cases where it's out of your control. They have to go in for surgery. But at the same time, we have those talks whenever we're going through the rehab process, we're going through that care of how did we get to this injury? What were we doing? Were we training too much? Were we training too little? Was this movement we thought was good not good for you? You know, maybe sometimes you just had the bad luck of my genetics were not aligned with my training goals. So you have somebody with an altered shoulder anatomy. They're never going to be able to lift the weight over their head that they want to. And it's unfortunate, but it's part of that journey of learning and understanding your body. And, you know, sometimes when you're working with these athletes, they're pushing their body to the absolute maximum. And I love working with those people because, you know, if you can get them 1%, that's a, you know, that's a personal record. That's the what separates them from first and second place. So getting them to understand and sometimes peeling back some of that dysfunction that's happened along the way, you know, they turn into a better athlete or they turn into a better, you know, functioning human. And that's really what drives us. I know talking with the other providers in the office is being able to get that person to understand and better themselves.
Right. Right. And I think that is that learning, right, for your patient too. And that's where I find a lot of gratitude.
Absolutely.
Is even with everything that you go through that doesn't feel great along the way. And if you can learn from it and what you learn from it is really the differentiator there. You know, we haven't talked a lot about this, and maybe it's in the next segment when we come back from our break. But on the preventative side, so I think we've talked mostly about you treating people who have something going on, some pain, an injury, a recovery, a rehab. On the preventative side, where does conservative healthcare align?
Oh, that's a great question. That was actually, as soon as you said that, I had a patient yesterday who we were working with, and we have what we consider just wellness visits where somebody comes in typically, you know, once a month, once every other month, and we're just checking in with them. But the beauty of that is we get to really know their body and what's happening to them. And in this case in particular, I go, yeah, you're really tight on the left side of your low back. And she's going, no, I'm not. My back feels fine. And, you know, I palpate the muscle in that area and it's actually very sensitive. And she goes, I didn't know that was there. Mm-hmm. And we went through and treated, you know, and it reduced significantly. And we were able to, you know, perform an appropriate treatment for that patient at that time. And we gave a little bit of rehab. And when we were going through and doing some of the conversation about typically I see these cases is with, you know, holding kids, or in my athletes, I see it with like farmer carries or off balance work, things like that. She goes, and well, now that you mention it again, talking about the detective, sometimes we have to play. She goes, my youngest kid was wanting to be held. So I was holding him over the 4th of July and I was holding him on my hip and he's really heavy now. And like, she demonstrated the movement and sure enough that, I mean, aligned almost exactly with what we were treating that day. So in those cases, it's being able to treat the problem before it even crosses over that threshold for pain.
Sure.
So, you know, in her case, and again, I don't know for certain whether it would have turned into it, but that sure paints a picture that, you know, a month or so down the road, if she would have done that activity again, or she would have had that gardening accident, it opens up that pathway for her to be injured. And hopefully, you know, with this style of treatment, we're getting her to understand, oh, he said I need to work on this exercise because it changes the way I use my body. I'm able to support, you know, my kid a little bit better now. And we prevent that injury from happening in the first place.
That's a lot of that, like, functional movement,
right,
you know, throughout life and how that changes.
Absolutely.
We can dive into that more after this next short break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Dr. Travis Walters, co-owner of Catalyst Wellness, a conservative healthcare clinic. So, Dr. Travis, you've been talking about, you know, your journey, patients that you've worked with, and how to how to recover from pain, prevent pain. We started to talk a little bit about what to me sounds like functional movement, you know, kind of through life. The story you told was about, you know, a woman with a young child that she was carrying. Many of us have been there. My kids are, one graduated college just this year and the other one will next year. So I don't carry them anymore. But there's other things that I do. So can you kind of talk through ways to look at movement through different parts of our life? And as we age, you also mentioned that you've been thinking more intentionally about the activities that you find joy in, that you want to be able to have those in your life for a long time.
Yeah, no, that's a great conversation. One of the, again, going back, the dynamic neuromuscular stabilization, just call it DNS, so we don't trip over my words here, but with DNS, it looks very granular at how a infant develops through the first year of life, from, you know, being able to not support its head all the way to walking. And so when we look at that pattern of movements that is replicated and continued throughout the rest of your life, and whenever you have an injury, it presents itself like certain pathologies do in a newborn or infant's life. So when we talk about movement through different stages of life, I mean, from the newborn all the way to the, you know, one-year-old, it's literally just looking at how they crawl, how they roll over, and how they eventually, you know, verticalize into a gait pattern or walking. And then from there, it's been really fun because obviously with my two kids, my daughter's 11, my son's 13. So we've watched them grow and develop along their own paths. And they are two completely different human beings when it comes to movement and just quality of movement, which is, I don't know, maybe people look at those things. I know I do. I'm just strange like that, I guess. But in that same category, whenever we have patients come in that are, say, you know, playing hockey or baseball, and they're starting to have these issues in their neck or their back, it goes back into that fundamental movement pattern that we really try and hone in on to remediate what's happening. And then being able to get, you know, a kid to understand and communicate to them is a completely different treatment process than it is, say, you know, an adult. But getting them to change a movement pattern early, you talk about, again, my wife and I are both chiropractors. So whenever we're in like an airport, it is just, if you ever see us in the airport, trust me, we are watching you move.
And carrying that bag on one shoulder.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, it's like a almost a little bit of a game we play of, I wonder what's hurting on them. So we like to think that we're very keen with our eyes and watching people move and how they have different movement patterns. But as we get out of those, you know, childhood years into those teenage years, those movement patterns are pretty solidified, and now we have to just work with what we got. And then as you go from the teenage years into the 20s, then we're talking about a very, you know, mature central nervous system, and hopefully we can, you know, make a tweak here, a tweak there. But as we talk about these different activities, you know, typically they change. So you're talking, you know, the high school kids' athletic adventure, say, you know, football or tennis or golf, is going to be a very high frequency of movement. Whereas, you know, you talk about that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, that decreases over time. But the range for error also decreases over time. So we have to be very, very picky with how that 70, you know, 80-year-old, which I do have an 80-year-old that plays tennis on a weekly, I mean, he's 5 days a week basis.
Yeah.
And I love working with him because he gets very, very particular because he wants to compete as much as he can. And he still plays tennis with, you know, the 50-year-olds out there. So, you know, we get those kinds of patients. And then, you know, we got another patient right now who actually, putting it simplistically, but he has actually a fracture in his low back from baseball. So whenever that happens, it's not that he had this one injury that hurt himself. It's that through repetitive swinging and throwing, he basically whittled away at this bone in his lower back. So he has to change a very broad movement pattern in his baseball, in his, well, he plays golf as well, but in that pattern, which is going to be really difficult because, again, if I could have worked with him a little younger, maybe we'd had a better chance, but, you know, I deal with the hand that I'm dealt. But as we mature, as we get older, I like to really, again, have these conversations with patients. And that's, you know, another aspect of our clinic is that we have time. Typically, our treatments are between, you know, 15, 30 minutes, sometimes even an hour, depending on the case. We're really communicating with the individual as to, you know, what is the best for them? How can we best help them? What are the things they need to do on their own? And get them to understand, you know, again, using that patient as a reference, that 80-year-old that's playing tennis, he's got to move perfectly. He's right. Got a, you know, his room for error is very, very small. Whereas if I'm, you know, talking with that 20-year-old, like, yeah, let's push the red line a little bit. Like, let's, mm-hmm. you know, let's get you to first place. But realize, like, when you're done with that competition, we're going to have to, you know, rotate the tires and change the oil a little bit, right?
Right.
But as far as different stages of life go, you know, I'm personally in that category as far as, you know, I'm no longer in the competitive stage of weightlifting like I was. I'm transitioning now into, you know, like the golf and the tennis. I always have a very high competitive drive. Mm-hmm. So I always want to have a sport where I'm competing, where I'm pushing myself, but just not into, you know, necessarily the injuries of my past. And
right.
Now I'm talking more with, you know, patients about like, oh, I got a little elbow pain from golfing, or I got a little bit of, you know, neck pain from this, you know, golf shot that I took last weekend. And again, being able to communicate with them, I'm one of you, you know, I get injuries too.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. And I think that again, through life, and what I've noticed when it comes to injury, as I've aged,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like there is so much more at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, from whether that be a really big injury, like a bone break, or it's, you know, a pain in my back,
mm-hmm.
like it's a bigger inconvenience.
Yeah.
Not just because the older that I am, but it's my responsibilities in life have changed.
Oh, I understand that completely. Right. Right.
And the way that I want to spend my time is not in pain and is not recovering. So I need to change my mindset sometimes on either the risks I take or the reason why I'm doing movement or doing what I am in
right.
those periods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that functional side of it, you know, if doing certain activities or having certain habits is going to allow me to say, you know, live in my two-story house for as long as I want,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of thinking that at a certain time, I really have to make sure I'm living on a single level because I
right.
can't do stairs. And you hear that from retired people say, you know, right,
a lot,
all the
right.
time, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, we just can't do the stairs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like being able to think of that far in advance. I'm far from that point.
Right.
But if I can think about it now, you know, while I,
mm-hmm.
in the ways that I move my body and the training that I do.
Right. There was, a really big fad that I don't hear as much of it now, but he was on YouTube, the knees over toes, or there was kind of a different influencer out there as well, where he was really getting people to understand that, you know, I have pain in my knees actually indicates that you need to possibly use your knees even more,
mm-hmm.
which was counterintuitive
right.
to a lot of kind of way people interpreted pain and going back into the pain science as well. And I agree with some of his content out there and some of it I don't. But again, without getting into the weeds too much on it, you know, even that conversation about, you know, my knees, things like that, that goes into a completely different conversation because you talk about, you know, say I played football or I played baseball in high school and I had that old high school injury,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I had an old surgery. Those complaints or those incidences create altered load through the knee over time creates degenerative changes. Now, if I took an x-ray of every, 80-year-old that's walking around, they're going to have degeneration in their knees.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have some sort of, I call it gray hair and wrinkles in the joints of their body. But what separates that person from having pain versus the other is, again, going into the quality of movement that they have, but also going into a conversation about, say, what foods they're eating. How is their body internalizing and dealing with the inflammation of daily
mm-hmm.
life? And that is, again, a whole nother rabbit hole. We could get into.
I know. Maybe we will on the next segment.
Okay.
So with that, we'll take a short break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Dr. Travis Walters, doctor of chiropractic and co-owner of Catalyst Wellness. And today we've been talking about a pretty broad topic of conservative healthcare. Mm-hmm. We've talked through about what your journey's been, what conservative healthcare means, how the style of treatment, the philosophies, movement, and why it's so important, and why it is also important that it changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
One piece that you had started to discuss right before the break was about food and what we put in our bodies and what our bodies do with it that mm-hmm. relates to this whole topic. So basically, tell us more
okay.
as we start talking yeah. about it.
Well, and this can get, controversial very quickly, so I'll keep it pretty vanilla at this point, but from my perspective, I like to look at food as certain individuals have a, let's just call it a spectrum. So you can imagine like the fuel gauge, you got green, you got red,
mm-hmm.
You got yellow in the middle. So if I went through and did a food sensitivity test, and again, some people love it, some people disagree
with
it,
right?
Exactly. I think there's a lot of clarity you can gain from taking somebody through this test and seeing what foods create a little bit of an inflammatory reaction or almost an autoimmune reaction in their body. And on the, the far end of the spectrum is where you get the, the Crohn's disease, or you get some of the thyroid disorders where the body creates its own antibody to these organs or to these foods, and it attacks the body. So in that same conversation, we were talking about inflammation in the body, and it's a very broad topic, and I know it's kind of a hot topic nowadays, but when I talk with somebody who, is competing on a high level and they're wanting to do CrossFit or they're in baseball, they need to be very, I wouldn't say the word careful, but very specific with their diet. And it's very fun because I've heard some of these higher level athletes kind of in their retirement years or sort of towards their later years say very similar words of, when I was young, I could get away with eating basically whatever I want. But mm-hmm. as I got older, I had to be very careful with my diet, and these foods that I was eating hurt my performance.
Right.
And so, communicating with patients, not necessarily of, again, I don't want them to be paranoid. I don't want them to be losing sleep because they had a cheeseburger. But at the same time, if you're eating fried processed foods, I think we can all agree that it's not going to help your recovery from an injury.
Right. There's things that extra, like ultra processed or fried
yeah.
foods, or even excess sugar mm-hmm. do once it's inside your body. Now, a lot of those foods are celebratory foods, right?
And right.
things like that. So, of course, they're going to be a part of your life, but it's knowing kind mm-hmm. of when that right spot is and what it could do and what you have to deal with, when you do have them, whether that's a discomfort in your body from inflammation or,
right.
like you had mentioned, for mm-hmm. athletes, poor performance.
Yeah, and there's different conditions that are associated with it as well. So again, somebody who has psoriasis, we already know that that is going to be very, correlated with their diet.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have these type of conditions, it's a physical expression of what's happening in their gut or in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a very small room for error.
Sure.
In what they are eating, what they're doing on a daily basis. Whereas you get some individuals where they can get away with a lot and have very little repercussions for that. So it's a very difficult conversation. It's also one that we have to kind of talk about carefully because there is a lot of information out there now. And some of it's, again, very good. On the other hand, some of it takes people down a very, I wouldn't say bad path, but it takes them down a path where they become fearful of what they're eating. And that creates its own kind of dysfunction along with that.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that you mentioned like the information that's out there.
Sure.
You know, whether it's being allergic to lectin or something in tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend once say, I think you were allergic to lectin. I just read this article and you mm-hmm. need to read this. She was not a healthcare professional.
Sure.
Right? There was no real reason why she should have really tried to diagnose me with mm-hmm. being allergic to tomatoes. I'm not allergic to tomatoes.
Right.
And I knew that, but it was just an interesting thing. It made me kind of pause and say, right? Sometimes we can just also read too much and project too many things on people, but to seek out a professional's opinion.
She meant well.
Right. I'm sure she meant well. Mm-hmm. That professional aspect of it is what's the biggest differentiator there. And I love that you guys take that kind of approach too.
Right. And there's certain conditions, you know, we can't treat through our, you know, hands and working with people's, you know, bodies. Some of them we have to refer out. And we have several people in our network that we refer out for, you know, more of those sensitive subjects, you know, when you get into some of the food disorders or some of the supplementation protocols that you really have to be careful about and look at a very large picture of, you know, what they're eating, what their history is, what their genetics are, what the health of their gut is. You can get into, again, rabbit hole real quick when you start talking about mold, parasites, again,
all those super fun topics to think about inside your body.
Right. So, you know, we have topics that we like to handle in-house and we have those that we refer out. Same mm-hmm. as we talk about with, you know, working with orthopedic surgeons or working with other, you know, medical professionals. It's just being able to understand, you know, when I'm getting over my skis here,
right,
going, no, you need to talk with so-and-so. They're going to be able to help you a lot more. This is going to be, you know, a whole hour conversation you're going to have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're going to take good care of you. So we make sure and refer out for those cases that, you know, they need that extra touch or they need that extra work.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the way that you've been talking about how you'd work with your patients mm-hmm. and how you have a network of other professionals, you know, when needed and as needed.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of how we work with our clients through financial planning and asset management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know where our expertise ends and we have trusted business partners to bring in to take that next step or fill in that gap.
Right.
And getting a client from where they are today to where they want to be in a way that makes sense for them. That's what you're talking about as well with all of this. Where you have to know the whole person,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving them a bunch of exercises to do that they are never going to do or they don't see the value in them, that's not going to work. So making sure you walk alongside them in the right way.
Right.
So this has been a great conversation. I always love spending time with you. You're not working on my shoulders today. That's okay. I love the work that you and Dr. Mack have done with our firm. You know, if our listeners wanted to learn more about Catalyst Wellness or get in touch with you or another person at your clinic, mm-hmm. how could they find you?
I think the easiest way to get a hold of us is, you know, you can call the clinic 262-361-0023. And then you can always email us. It's relief@catalystperform, CATAYLST, perform, PERFORM.com.
That's awesome. Well, again, this conversation's been great. I thank you so much for your time today. And remember, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you've enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our fantastic upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com, or you can call the office at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.